I am so alone. When we hear these words or see them lived out in our world, what is our response? My immediate response is, you're not alone. I am here. As a church, First Unitarian Church of Baltimore has also responded, you are not alone. We are here. Last week, Reverend David examined the myriad of ways that First Unitarian has responded to the needs of our world. Last week, we heard of the many responses of this congregation and ways that we have lived out our belief in a better world. The question is, what in our liberal religious tradition asks us to say that you are not alone, but we are here? There are many answers to this, as many answers are as there are people in this room. We do not always agree with one another, and as one elevator speech has it, we do not have to believe alike to love alike. But we do share a history as Unitarian Universalists, a history that gives us theological and philosophical underpinnings of making this world a better place. Our denomination has a history of social justice, from abolition to civil rights to marriage equality to economic justice. Our history and our theology is deep. It's what today's UU call beloved community. It is through beloved community that we proclaim our shared belief that all people have dignity, that we are interrelated with one another, and love is the basis of right relationship and justice. Beloved community asks us, what kind of world do we want to live in? Do we want to live in a world that's filled with cruelty and hate? Do we want to live in a world that denies humanity of another and causes injustice? Or do we want a world where full humanity of everyone is recognized? Where this full humanity calls us into action and to work for justice in the world. Beloved community asks not only how things are in the world, but also how things should be. And beyond that, we are asked to bring into our lives ways that bring the should be into reality. The sense of community has philosophical and theological underpinnings. And today I would like to look at three of these underpinnings: our Universalist theology, our Unitarian theology, and our humanist philosophy. Early Universalists, such as Hosea Ballou, responded to that day's theology of fear. They called to people to act in ways of justice because of rewards or punishments of the following life, the afterlife. But Hosea Ballou said, no, we have to respond to this, to today's world, in ways that act for justice, not because God is vengeful, but rather God's loving, and God is benevolent. And through this benevolent way, power, we act in ways that are loving. We do not act out of fear, but out of love. The one who is known by many names is all loving, so we must love one another. And this love is expressed through justice. This love led another Universalist to seek reform society and to respond with nonviolence and communities, such as Aidan Ballou's Hopedale Community. These are part of our history. Tolstoy, who corresponded often with Gandhi on issues of nonviolence, draws deeply from Aidan Ballou and his teachings that love is linked with justice. It is Ballou's influence that is seen in Gandhi's famous words, "Be the change in the world you wish to see." For Unitarians, such as our beloved Channing, it is out of our Unitarian faith that we seek to live lives of virtue, and such lives then leads us to make the world a better place. We are not alone. We have one another, and the spirit of life flows through us, and this impacts the way we live. This is the basis of the abolitionist mothers and fathers, the vision that leads us to fight for civil rights and continues to lead us towards social justice. Feminist theologian Elizabeth Schuessler Ferenza, even though she's not a Unitarian, speaks like one as she defines love by what it is not. Love does not accept or tolerate inequity, injustice, rejection, violence, abuse, or dehumanization. Love is nothing without the imagination to create a sustaining spiritual vision for new forms of relationships and world communities with equal resources. Love is not without justice. These two are tied together in our liberal religious faith. We see this also in humanism, where love and justice are located not in something that's beyond us, not in a divinity, but within the human spirit. As our reading from Dietrich proclaimed, a fundamental doctrine underlying humanism is a belief in the essential unity of humankind. And it is out of this humankind that a better world may be established. Humanism proclaims that we are sisters and brothers within our shared humanity. Though human beings are deeply flawed and do not always act in ways of justice, we do have the power to make this world a better place if we live into our best selves. If we are to live into unity, we have the responsibility to one another to live in just ways. Humanism has a positive view of humanity, calls us to live in ways that are just because, as humans, we can and should. This is not based on some power that's higher than us, but one that's within ethics. One ethic is that human beings are not an end to a means. And means to an end. But an end in and of themselves. This says we cannot and should not use one another, but recognize our relatedness with one another and our unity. If we are to live into the commonality that brings us into solidarity with one another, we will act in just ways. It's not easy to live in just ways. Too often, it's easy to become apathetic. Too easy it is to pass by. Liberationist Dorothy Zola reminds us that the opposite of love is apathy. When we do not care, when we are numb to the needs of others, whether that's because of indifference, being tired to the bone with our own difficulties, or even compassion fatigue. When we allow one another to be alone, we are apathetic. We do not see one another, and then we are alone. Now, here at First Unitarian Church of Baltimore, we are anything but apathetic. We know that when we participate in community, we are moved past apathy and go to the needs around us. We recognize that it is not there by the grace of God go I, but that I am you and you are me. We recognize that an injustice to one is an injustice to all. This is the foundation of beloved community. I titled this sermon, Beloved, Let Us Love One Another, which is from the epistle, 1 John, in the Christian scriptures. This past week, I've been thinking a lot of my grandmother, who died 1 week ago today. I've been thinking a lot of her and how this scripture was one of her favorites. And I'd like to share it with you. Now, because it is from the Christian scriptures, the concept of God is very prominent. And I ask you, in the spirit of Unitarian Universalist theologian John Luther Adams, to hear the word of God as a placeholder. A placeholder for what we put our confidence in, whether that be the human spirit ethics or the one who goes by many names, even none. The scripture goes like this. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is for God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. Beloved, since God loves us so much, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and God's love is perfected in us. Beloved, let us love one another. First John is written to a community that has been outcast because of their beliefs. They've been outcast because they believe in the humanity of Jesus, that Jesus is one of us. And then while others declare that Jesus is actually God, and if we believe that we can be like Jesus, we too can be without sin. John says no, Jesus was one of us, and as such, we should love one another. It is not enough to believe. It takes work to make a community which is based in love. This text functions to provide his community with a blueprint of how to live one another. Beloved, let us love one another. Five simple words, which in Greek are actually three complex words. Agapetoi. Agapemen, agapalous. You are loved, so love everyone. Not some people, not the ones that are like you, not the ones that you find easy to love, but everyone. This is a difficult charge to us. And it's especially hard because this love that is spoken of is not mere warm and fuzzies and being nice to one another. It also speaks of justice. Our UU theology calls us to move beyond ourselves to the world. It tells us that love leads us to radical mutuality, which seeks justice, seeks to see one another as fully human. We are not alone. We are part of an interlocking web of reality. We are part of one another. Though not a UU, my grandfather taught me this lesson. My grandfather, who I knew as Papa, had an eighth grade education and grew up very poor. He rode the rails in the 30s to find work and send money home. He was educated not through academia, but through life. He was an oilman, not the ones who benefit and make money from the oil rigs. He was one who climbed the oil rigs. He called himself a grease monkey. He climbed those, and his hands were never fully clean, no matter how much soap and water that he used. I knew him later in life, after he had raised three children, one of which is my mother. And he taught me many, many things, including the value of hard work. And one of his wisdoms was, you gotta do what you gotta do. Papa was a man who had many friends from many walks of life and many situations of life. He taught me that to help another is to reach out to another, not reach down to another. From his last lessons, I learned to ask, can I see another as fully human? Can I see past the exterior, the situations of life, the decisions that led to this place? He taught me that if we take seriously the call of recognizing the other as our sister or brother, that we will recognize that another does not need our help because they are worthy. They need our help because they are us. Beloved, let us love one another. You are loved, so love everyone. Work for the love of wholeness. Help one another as they need help, not how we think they should be helped. Work towards love. And why do we do this? It is because who we are, joined as a beloved community. Blessed be. Amen.